Welcome to Conversations with Leaders, an AWS podcast focused on personal lessons of leadership, culture, and technology from business leaders across the globe. Enjoy today's conversation.
Thanks for joining us here today. My name is Ellen. I'm with AWS Innovation and Transformation Programs, and I'm with Matt Kaplan, CEO of Peace Love Foundation, and Eric Rice, Chief Creative Officer of Peace Love Foundation, and we're here to talk about the innovation journey to create Scribble.
Thank you for having us.
Matt, can you just start us out by telling us a little bit about Peace Love and the focus?
Absolutely. So at a high level, our mission is to help people create peace in their minds and lives. The way that we do that is we design and deliver expressive arts programs in a variety of settings. So we work with kids, teens, adults. We work with schools, healthcare systems, veterans organizations, again, really with the goal of giving people permission to talk about their mental health and using creativity as the catalyst to do that.
That's fantastic. When we started together, there was a big challenge on the table and really interesting to think, how are we going to take what you do every day and tackle the particular challenge? Can you tell us about what it was?
Yeah, I mean, aspirationally, we've always had big dreams of reaching millions. The need is there. There's so much need, right? So for us, over the last 14 years, you know, we've impacted about 100,000 individuals, and we're proud of that. But I think, you know, now that we've set this goal in 2024 of reaching a million people, we're on our way to doing that, right? Having had a successful pilot, and I think, you know, using the working backwards framework, you know, we have been able to set ourselves up to, you know, reach probably many, many more millions of people.
Well, you have a digital modality now, right?
Yeah.
And it's so much, it's like anybody can pick it up and use it,
yeah.
Right? So now the effort is not in the human effort to get people together and do the longer interaction and train creators.
Yeah.
But now you have something that anybody can pick up and use. And really what's it's hard to have a limit to the scale of that. Anybody who can get their hands on it can use it. So you could get to a billion, right? I mean,
Absolutely. Basically,
you no longer have something standing in the way of your scale.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And as you know, we've talked about, right, we're starting in the workplace, but there are so many applications even to be thinking about what would a single player version look like. We talked about the different communities that have already expressed interest in this tool. So I think we'll continue to, you know, dream big and set our sights high and, you know, just continue to do the work.
You're becoming a company offering digital products. This is a transformation for you.
Very much so. You know, we've always used technology in the background for databases and filming and things like that, but at no point did we ever think we were going to become a tech company. We were proudly analog. We actually told people, turn off your phones, turn off your laptops, get your hands dirty, make some art together, because it truly worked. But now we've had to kind of embrace the opposite of that.
Yeah.
It's a little scary.
When we first started working together, we shared a bit about our culture of innovation at Amazon, and we looked at our working backwards mechanism, where we reframe problems through the lens of what the customers might want or need, not thinking so much about organizational goals, but more thinking about our customers. And then we work to define the most important problem to solve for those customers and start with something quite specific as an invention that we can then test and iterate upon in order to bring a solution to life quickly. What was that process like for you, moving away from your goal to scale to a million to start looking at, but who's the customer?
Working backwards made us completely rethink how we would scale our programs. You know, for years, like Matt mentioned, we were for everybody and anyone. But at the end of the day, that wasn't going to be, we couldn't just build bigger, we had to build smarter. And so through working backwards, we identified several personas, people with emotions and families and jobs and all these things that rounded them out. And then we looked at the intersection of what do they have in common? And we found the workplace. Struggles in the workplace, struggles connecting, struggles with trust, and also coming out of the pandemic, it was hybrid was taking over, and it was a lot.
Yeah, and we dove into this work right in the throes of the pandemic.
Exactly.
So, for us as an organization, it was actually our first opportunity to use like virtual platforms. Right, we were doing Zoom workshops. We were doing our trainings via, you know, Teams. So it was our first experience of like not being with people and holding people and hugging people, right? So it was really, really different for us. And it didn't always feel great. And I think that really helped us as we got into the working backwards is like, we better stretch our comfort zones here.
Yeah.
And especially where we landed with digital first.
And we found many personas, and there are many that we can still look back and go back and serve moving forward. Mm-hmm. But we're starting with one place for the very good first place to start to do something new, yeah. right? And we chose the adult, and the adult goes to work. Mm-hmm. That's part of the life, but it's also integrating their family and their social pressures and aspects. And so where can you meet people and potentially meet many people as a starting point? What's the front door yeah. to meet them? It can be through the workplace. And many organizations are interested in bringing wellness to their employees. And so that's where we decided to start. Now, I know we looked at many potential solutions. So what was that about? Framing the challenge, you know, and then how do you decide what's the right thing to build once you know what the problem is? Right?
Working backwards really helped us define exactly the person that we wanted to serve. And then we put that idea out to all sorts of different friends, companies, partners, asking for ideas. Mm-hmm. And what we got back, we were able to take a look at, reflect on, iterate on, and really refine for that segment what would be the best product to put out there.
Yeah. What did you end up with?
We got five ideas that kind of made it to the, you know, to the Shark Tank or, you know, to uh-huh. the pitch. We had like a co-branded Mr. Potato Head expressive arts kit that like an employee could do with their kids. Right?
Can I have that too?
You can have it. It didn't get selected, but we had a robot for in your home that could be like a virtual, you know, healthcare assistant. We had a virtual in the metaverse where you could, I think it was called Story World, where people would share their mental health journeys through some type of a creative output, and you could learn about what other people were going through, right? So we had it ran the scope of, you know, analog to digital, but
to highly tech,
yeah, to high tech, and we actually landed on something that I think we were really comfortable with, which was a game called Pieces of Mind at the time, right? Where an analog game, a board game that would bring people together, you know, help people connect, and that game. As much as we loved it, through the working backwards process, we're all sitting there and we're going through this exercise and we're like, are we going to sell a million board games? Like, who sells a million board games?
Right. Did we lose the scale? So we've got something people love to do. Everybody who sits down and does this feels great.
Yep.
How do we bring it into the workplace and will it scale to a million, right?
Yes.
What's the process there? I know we had a document where we were writing down the vision and asking these hard questions and having debates.
Yeah.
Where did we go?
The one nice part about the analog game is it really helped us identify the core of our modality. You know, we ask people or we give them space to be creative and tell us a story. And it worked as an analog game. And so when we decided to pivot into the digital game, I think we weren't as scared to approach technology like we had been in the past.
Yeah, but it was also like there was like an aha moment when you were there.
Yeah.
There were 20 of us around a table playing a game. And we all kind of looked at each other. And I think it was Sanju who said, well, why don't we just do this digital first.
Right.
And, you know, that sounded great. You know, we've never done anything digital in our life. So for us, it was. Yeah.
Right. And if we're drawing on a paper, could we draw on our phones?
And I think over the course of that, the next 2 hours, right, we whiteboarded how we would take a analog game and how we would convert it to a digital product. And it was fun.
It was fun.
And we ended up selecting that as our pilot product, and we set out to build that MLP right from there.
We hope you're enjoying this discussion. To engage with other business leaders on these topics, follow us on LinkedIn at AWS Executive Connection. Now back to our conversation.
We talk about customer testimonials and what do customers say and what do customers feel and what do customers, you know, we test. Mm-hmm. How do customers think about this new concept? You've been taking it around. You've been sharing it. I know we piloted it at Amazon through our Epic Leadership Program. I know we had more than 500 sessions and amazing feedback at Amazon. What else are you hearing out there?
It's surreal. It's surreal.
Definitely the things that we never thought of when we put it out into the world. Companies telling us that they're having better meetings, more productive meetings. One of my favorite stories is a AWS leader who was using it and had never heard the voice of somebody on his team before. They were always in the meeting and they were always present and they always got their work done, but they had never spoken up. And now those people who are never speaking up are the ones talking the most when it comes to the game.
So explain a little bit what the experience is so that everybody can understand. What is it that we do together that makes people suddenly be able to engage, to feel that they're included, to have their voice heard, to feel comfortable? What is this process?
Yeah, so our approach is bringing people together, right? And building meaningful connections. Mm-hmm. So the process is you take out your phone, you scan a QR code, a host is running the game, a prompt hits the screen, it might be blank gives me peace of mind, mm-hmm. and everybody has 60 seconds. Most people take 30. And you scribble with your finger on a phone, and it is about the process, it's not about the product, and it is fun, it is easy to engage with, and it is amazing how many barriers that breaks down. Because when it comes to sharing now, you see this cool game board, all these pieces, all this art, and then you share.
I see my dog on
exactly,
the screen.
Exactly.
And then I get to talk about it.
And then I learn that you have a dog, and I have a dog, and we connect. And, you know, it just really breaks down all these barriers that exist, especially in the hybrid work environment, to Eric's point earlier. Some people aren't included in the conversation. You know, there are people that have great ideas, but, you know, might not just jump in and be the first to talk. So this levels the playing field. I think you said it earlier. It's like a door opener, like an on-ramp. Mm-hmm. And what we find in, if there were 10 of us playing and it's a 10-minute game, it's probably closer to a 7-minute game, you will learn, and we've heard this, I've learned more about my fellow coworkers, or I've learned more about my boss mm-hmm. in a 7-minute game than I have in 2 years.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I've done it with teams that I've been part of, and I feel like we've scribbled together.
Yeah.
It's like we have mm-hmm. this thing that we've done together. We're connected in that way, and we learned from each other. And I also learned such interesting things about what people love and don't love about their job day to day. I mean, everybody just starts to share. Like, it's safe to have an opinion. It's safe to share because there's been a space held for sharing.
Yeah, and that safety piece is huge. And that's what we do in our other work, right? You build this space, you allow people to be vulnerable. And once you're allowed to be vulnerable, like, transformation happens. You know this. This is what you guys do, right? So for us to see it happen at a corporate level, right, with, you know, adults that have their stuff together, but we're all dealing with so many challenges.
We all have
right?
something on our mind.
We
Absolutely.
All do. And, you know, I think if you can do something that is already embedded in your existing workflow, like, it's not another thing you have to do or another meeting you have to take, and after 7 minutes and you're like, that felt good, like, let's do that weekly. And that's what this gentleman Chris has been doing with his team. He's like, I do it every Monday morning to stand up my week.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the routines you're seeing?
I mean, obviously we have the data in our back end and it's fun to look at, but we as an organization, we tell stories.
Yeah.
And so we're going out to these hosts that have been piloting the program and saying, tell us your stories, tell us exactly what's happening. And what we're hearing back the most is, it's helping my team build the emotional data set that has been missing for the past few years. And that emotional data set is necessary for things like trust and connection and just knowing your coworker as a human being, not just a little box on the screen.
And then I want to rush home and do it with my kids and doing it with my church group. I want to take it around to people that I care about and connect with them too, right? And that's how this can scale. Let's talk about scale a little bit.
Yeah.
So we've gotten specific. We were first going to serve all people, and then we narrowed down and said, how can we focus on the adult in the workplace? Yeah. How do we now reach back? How big can that be? And how do we reach back to get as big as we can with this? Like, how does that process work for you in your mind?
So the easiest way to answer that question is, I think it's limitless how many people we can reach, right? I know that when having worked with Epic, right, their goal is to impact 1 billion people. Right?
Yeah.
That's a real number that they talk about, and it's possible, right? So I think for us, the most interesting thing, and maybe one of the most rewarding things, is when we play this game and we show it to somebody, everybody has a use case in their head.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I would love to do this with my faith-based group, or I work with veterans, and this would be like a great way to kick off, you know, a meeting. One example, we work with a very large group in the mental health space, and they work with underinsured or uninsured youth through schools. So they're like, every counselor should have this game, and they should use it as like their orientation to like for teachers.
A tool for connection.
Exactly.
Right?
So I think really quickly, and fortunately for us, we had to pick a lane and focus on that lane, which we have for the last year and a half, and we're proofing that out. But I think to answer your question, I think there's limitless opportunities. I think it could benefit any community.
We pick so that we can be really intentional in what we're going to build and test and iterate. And it's okay to fail if we're starting somewhere that's actionable and smaller. But the idea is, of course, that we're going to look and see how big can it be, right, with every invention. Really excited to see all that's coming along. Having taken this journey with us, And knowing that there are so many organizations out there that have massive challenges ahead of them. They have maybe a backlog of a lot of ideas they'd like to see come to life. They're not quite sure which ones are the ones to focus on, and or they have massive challenges that they need to tackle and overcome. What advice could you give them after going through this process that might resonate?
Trust it. Trust the process. You know, just we were just talking about other segments, opening up new segments. We're going to go back and we're going to do it again. And we're going to refine the product for those segments. We now have that tool set that we learned through working backwards to do it properly.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is, I mean, we stretched our comfort zone like you can't imagine, right?
Well, I saw you do it.
Yeah, I know. But it was, you know, as scary as that is and as challenging as that was, it was super rewarding because we were not going to reach a million people doing how we did it. It was scary. But now that we're kind of going through the process, my advice would just be, you've got to take chances, you know, especially if you want to solve for something as challenging as like mental health or emotional well-being, or like, you know, how do you develop empathy in the workplace? Like, these are big
problems.
They're big problems, right? Yeah. So for us, it was, you know, honor our modality, right? Like, honor what we do. What we do is we give people permission to talk about their mental health or their emotional health by using creativity, and it's got to be fun.
And it's got to be easy,
right? Because working on our mental health can be hard work, and nobody's looking for like more tools to like dig deeper. They want to like let go.
One of the things I love about it is that it's this doorway that's there, but it's fast. It's easy to enter, and it is fun to be creative, and it is fun to talk about the creativity, but it's so bite-sized at first. Like, just draw something. Okay.
Yeah.
That felt great.
Yeah. And back to your question, because I think this is really important. He said, trust the process. Like, we don't get here if we aren't partnered with you guys, if we're not partnered with Slalom, if we were smart enough to know that, hey, we're going to need people that not only have the expertise, but, you know, can actually help us build this. Because as a nonprofit, you are not going out and raising substantial dollars to build a new technology product, at least in our case, right?
Right.
So we had to be really thoughtful about how we talked about this, how we approached it. And I think it's the greatest investment that we've ever made as a company, because we have the opportunity now to truly impact, you know, many, many more lives.
Let's take it to a billion.
We're up for it.
Okay. One last thought too is that you said it's scary, and I was thinking about defining that. I think it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
In the same way that we give people permission to talk about their feelings, AWS has given us permission to dream as big as we possibly could.
Yeah.
And while that can be a little bit scary, you've been so reassuring during the process. I think one of my favorite times was during the solutions workshop when I was talking to Sanju Soni about how should we end this game. And we had an idea, and it was kind of crazy at the time. It was very much out of the realm of what we were normally doing. And I asked, I said, is this even possible? And he said, of course it's possible. He kind of had this little smile. And he said, we're Amazon, we can do anything.
Well, with technology, we can do anything. And the hard part is, or most anything. And the hard part is, how do we frame the problems in the right size and shape where we know exactly what we need to go do and we can test and measure it? And how do we start with something that we could build upon, right? If we try to boil the ocean and take the biggest problem and have the best big idea that anybody's ever seen the first time and we're afraid to be wrong, that's really hard. But if we can give ourselves permission to start with something that seems actionable and then see how good we could be, we can test, improve, and get there. Yeah. That's not hard. That's fun, right? But the vulnerability piece is a big part of it. And just being vulnerable about being honest about where are we and how much do we know our customer or not know our customer and how honest are we being about where we need to go. And that I think we worked through that process a lot, like in our partnership, and that as you bring partners into the fold, they can continue to follow along the process in order to make sense of it.
And I love that. I don't know who said it, but it was like, you know, if you can do something, you know, because we always want it to be perfect. You know, we want to give like our best effort. We want to put the best product in front of people. And, you know, thinking about kind of just like the foundational MLP, like what do we needs to work? People need to be able to log in. It needs to have a decent user experience. We need to collect some data. And, you know, we historically would have pushed that off months and months and months until we had this feature and that bell and that whistle.
Right.
And I think just saying, hey, this is good enough. Let's get it out there and let's get that input from users. I mean,
yeah, that we call it the minimum lovable product. I think Sanji probably talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
So the minimum lovable product, what's the first thing that we can deliver to find out whether that benefit we want to deliver is truly going to be impactful the way we think it will.
Yeah.
Right. And we learn through that and we test, we changed direction a few times based on feedback and what we needed to emphasize and how we needed to bring people into the game. So yeah. It's been a really great journey. I just really want to thank you for joining us and for sharing the journey. And we look forward to more.
Thank you. We love you guys. It's been really rewarding.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Leaders, brought to you by AWS Executive Insights. For more on these topics, visit aws.amazon.com/executive insights. While there, visit our generative AI and ML page for more resources to help you unlock the value of generative AI for your business.